So you went to work for Doughty's a little while, and then what eventually made you come back to Fielding's then, Bob?
Well, what had happened, John, was that in the meantime, from 78 until when I rejoined Fielding's, which would have been about 84, there was a lot of things that happened at Fielding's at the time, as you will probably remember. There was a management buyout to start with. There was a guy called Mike Harrison, Les Spooner, and another guy whose name escapes me, David something or another. No, well, whatever. They had a management buyout, but they had appointed at the time Roger Beard as sales director of the company. And Roger had contacted me at the time and said, would I like to come back and join Fielding's as their UK sales manager on the concrete side? And which I did, of course. I came back and was it on the concrete side? Yeah, I think it was on the concrete side of the business. So I came back and I did what I could. There was always a little bit of conflict between me and Bill Redding. I think Bill was very protective of, because he was the main man, and he saw me as a bit of a usurper, I think. Anyway, the thing was that business was okay up until 96, when the company was obviously in dire straits, and they made me redundant in 86, sorry, in 86 they made me redundant. So that was, then I had to go searching for work elsewhere, which I was fortunate enough to do.
And then eventually you came back again.
Yeah, well, it was strange in many ways that I went off and worked for various companies between that time, 96, 86-ish, and 93 when I came back. Again, it was at that time, Fielding's had undergone another massive change in terms of that the management buyout had gone, let's say, southwards, and the company had been purchased by the what was then the Henry Berry Group of companies. Henry Berry, which included companies like Henry Berry, which is a hydraulic press manufacturer, Chester Hydraulics, which was a hydraulic press manufacturer, John Shaw, which was a hydraulic press manufacturer, and now that Fielding's or Fielding and Platt was brought into the fold. So that then pretty much covered all of the hydraulic press manufacturing in the UK. So that was, and Roger then had become managing director of the Fielding and Platt branch of that division, of that group. And he contacted me. I must have been, I don't know, 83 was when I joined. 83 is what I remember. He contacted me and asked me if I'd come back to working sales, of course, which I did. And at that time, I think there was something like, there was maybe even as many as sort of 80 or 100 people working at Fielding's at that time, I think. I remember being very impressed by. At the Roger's office was the managing director's office, which was the big office at the top of the stairs as you walk through the reception, and he gave me the office right next door to him, which was rather impressive. I think it used to be Jack Baker's old office, if you remember that, Jack Baker. So I was quite impressed with that. Anyway, so he asked me back to work at Fielding's for him on sales, which was, of course, what I did. And what happened then was that it was run by the Henry Berry Group. And we used to go up to, and of course they were based in Leeds. We used to go up to Leeds monthly for sales meetings up there to try and see what we were going to achieve in as far as sales was concerned. But I remember one of the memories that I have at that time was that it was around about 83, 93 when I joined. But one of the things I had was Roger had me flying out to do an exhibition in Saudi Arabia. I hadn't been there a couple of months, And he had me flying out to Saudi Arabia. And because I was going to Saudi Arabia for this exhibition, he said to me, well, while you're there, you know, you just well do a bit of a tour around the Middle East, which was a big area of business for Fieldings, particularly on the concrete, the construction, the slab presses and so on. But a couple of things that I remember about that trip was that one was going into Saudi Arabia, and of course, I'd never been to the Middle East before, but going to Saudi Arabia was a bit of an eye-opener. I remember a couple in front of me, a young couple with a baby and a buggy, in front of me, as far as the customs were concerned, when you went through, the customs officer had taken a book, it was like a Vogue magazine, Cosmopolitan or something, out of this young girl's bag. When I say young girl, she was in her 20s, I guess, because she had a baby. And anyway, he went through this book, however many hundred odd pages of this magazine, and tore every page out that showed a woman with bare arm, shoulders, and too much leg. And you know, why I remember it is because I was stood there, and this literally must have took about, it seemed like forever, but it must have taken about, you know, 20 minutes or more, half an hour maybe even, while he was going through this, tearing these pages out. So that was one of the things I remember about going into Saudi Arabia. The other thing I remember was that at the exhibition, at sundown every night, the religious police used to come around. All the lights would dim in the exhibition hall, and all the lights would dim down, and the police would come around, and anyone that looked a bit Arabic, shall we say, if that's not being racist, would be told they had to get into the mosque and pray, you know. So at 6 o'clock, for about half an hour, it was very quiet, the exhibition, or whatever sundown was at the time. But then from there, from Saudi, I think I went into Kuwait. And bear in mind, this was 1993. So in 1991, you'll remember that the Americans invaded Kuwait, because Iraq invaded, didn't they? And then the Americans in 91 went in and did what they did. Well, I remember in 93 flying into Kuwait, and flying into Kuwait over the desert, you could see all these massive, great big black potholes in the desert, in the sand, which must have been, I'm guessing, they were oil wells or whatever. And it was absolutely unbelievable. And the destruction, even in 93, it was unbelievable. Anyway, that was those are the things that I remember. And I'd only been back at Fieldings for a few months before I was tasked to do that. Yeah. So that was fairly exciting.
Well, that journey into Saudi, etc., was very, very interesting. Did you travel to any other parts of the world?
Yes, an interesting part was, it's around the middle 90s, Fieldings bought a company called Edwards Extrusion Systems in Enfield. And as a result of that, Edwards used to have an office in Atlanta, Georgia, in the USA. And as time progressed, the business was getting better in the States for us in terms of spare parts and so on. And I was invited to go and work out there. So my wife and I, Kay and I, went out there in 96. And we worked out there until, we had an office out there, and we worked out there until 2000, April 2000, when we came back, which was the Deep's kind of demise. Because at that time, Motherwell Bridge had purchased Fieldings from the Berry Group. And it was decided that, you know, I suppose we weren't achieving as much as we ought to have achieved in the States. And they decided that they were going to wind the company down. But during the time in the USA, a lot of business that we did was on the extrusion side of the business, but also on the construction side, because there's quite, surprisingly, quite a few slab presses in the States. But in addition to that, Berry's used to make aluminium radiators and condensers for the automotive industry. So we had a small office and workshop in the States. It's about 5,000 square feet, I suppose. And we built two or three of these machines for assembling radiators, you know, for the car industry, for the automotive industry. Ford Motor Company was a big customer for us, of course, as they are for everybody else in that industry. But yeah, and then we came back in April 2000, and that was when, unfortunately, Feelers was on a bit of a slippery slope at that time. The writing was definitely on the wall.